Chica, you found us. Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, executive vice president of ParkWest GC, a hospitality and commercial real estate general contractor. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Check Out California, your key to California hospitality. I am Craig Sullivan. My co-host Rad Gantos is running a little late, but we've got a full house and happy Halloween. Boo! So, anyhow, I've got
you just blew everybody's headphones right off.
Absolutely.
What?
So, I've got a full house in here today. We've got two different groups in here. We've got three premier hotel brokers from Atlas Hospitality. We've got Mr. Oliver Shaw, the myth, the legend, the one and only Oliver Shaw. We've got Sachin Shaw, and we've got Josh Meal. And then our second group is only a group of one, but two of the families in here go back with this gentleman three generations. Okay?
Wow.
So we've got Mr. And I got to stress, Mr. Ryan Huntsman from Chicago Title.
Thank you, Craig.
Welcome, everybody. For those of you who don't know Ryan and you've known me through my career, he is the next me on the title insurance side. This guy is great. He does my deals. He does various deals throughout the hospitality industry. He is a exhibitor at the California Lodging Investment Conference. And Oliver and Sachin's fathers worked with Ryan's grandfather and his mother. Ryan's grandfather and my father worked together. Ryan's uncle and mother and I all worked together.
This is like The Sopranos.
Wow.
Or something.
Yeah, so it's very in-depth, but it's a fun show today. And welcome all of you. Oliver, I want to kick it off with you. I want you to give everybody about a 20-second synopsis of your career, and then we're going to go to Sachin, and then we'll go to Josh, and then we'll go to Ryan to kick this off. So it's all on you right now, Ollie.
Okay, well, my name is Oliver Shaw. I sell hotels. I've been doing it for about 25 years now. I got my license when I was 22, graduated from college when I was 22, and the job I have now is the only job I've ever had. So guess what? I only know how to do one thing, and it's sell hotels, and I sell a lot of them. So I think since 1994, I am just at about 500 deals. 500 transactions done.
All in the state of California.
All in the state of California, yeah.
Wow.
Congratulations,
so,
Oliver.
Yeah, that's me, and that's a 20-second.
There you go. Sachin.
Yes, hello, everyone. My name is Sachin Shaw. I've been with Atlas Hospitality since its inception. And, just to coincide with Oliver, this is the best job and only job that I've ever had. I love what I do. Specialize in Southern California, and give me a call.
There you go. What's your phone number?
949-622-3405.
Very good. Josh, you're up.
Hey, everybody. I'm Josh Meal. I'm also with Atlas Hospitality Group. I've been with them since 2012. I had a good friend of mine that got me into the hospitality business that kind of went over to the franchise side and started as Oliver's assistant and kind of worked my way up from there. Still doing all my deals with Oliver. It's been a great learning experience, great mentor, as has Sachin and the rest of the guys in the office. Great place to work, and obviously the number of deals we do kind of speak for themselves. So look forward to the future with Atlas and continue to do more deals.
Thank you very much, Josh. And Ryan, let's give him a little bio on you, please.
Thank you, Craig. As Craig said, I did pick up where Craig left off, working in the hospitality industry particularly. And it's been really neat to get to meet all the different owners, brokers, and different people that put together this really neat industry of people that don't call it hotel sales. They call it hospitality for a reason.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Now, I've got some really great information provided to me by Chicago Title, and this is current through September. So we've had 153 hotel transactions in the United States year to date.
This is just the month of September.
The month of September, we had 153 transactions, and 19 of them were in the state of California. Now, I have a feeling that Atlas probably did at least 10 of them. So let's, yeah, they are the market leader. You know, Ollie, you have got a knack for closing hotel deals quickly. You firmly believe that time kills all deals. So what are some of the things that you do to help your buyers and your sellers to get a transaction closed?
Well, you have to price your hotels attractively. That's the most important thing. Price is everything. And we're in a supply and demand-based economy. So if it's priced well, then people will buy it. So my belief is, in order to get a deal done, it has to be priced well. Not priced high where the buyer wants it and he'll retrade the asset. So right. I price my deals well so the buyers do not retrade the asset and the seller feels comfortable. If he needs to do a 1031 exchange, he can do it and he knows that the deal will close.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, Sachin, with your expertise in the industry, you know, you're bringing together lenders, insurance, and some of the other pieces together along with helping them with franchise agreements. So why don't you give us a little bit of insight into that and what you do to help your clients on that side?
Well, at Atlas Hospitality, I mean, all of us assist the buyer from A to Z, from negotiating a fair price to getting the financing, to dealing with the franchise companies, with the inspection companies, and we try to prepare the buyer so that we're not discovering things with them in the deal. And that's, you know, one of the major reasons why we're able to get deals done.
Very good. And you get a lot of them done. Now, Oliver and Sachin, you know, one of you guys can answer this question. How many deals a year does Atlas normally close? Now, Oliver, you're the powerhouse. Mm-hmm. You are the most prolific hotel broker in the state of California, and you know I've said that about you for years. And that started one night when Oliver and I were out and a bunch of the guys from L&R showed up at a location, and we'll just say a location that Oliver and I were at. And it's true. You are. You close more deals than anybody else. So, you know, how many deals a year do you close?
So our company does about 40 transactions a year. In a good economy, in a slower economy, do about 25 to 30. But remember, we're a small office. There's only 11 of us in our whole office, including administration.
Small so but powerful. Small but powerful.
Yeah, you may be small, but I think you're far more than powerful. And I think you do actually more deals in the off season, or you know when we hit the trough, because you guys have got a knowledge and a feel for the industry that is second to none. And you know you can help them with repositioning debt and you know their franchise. Franchise issues, their PIPs, all types of Oliver, you and I were, you know, closing, you know, 20, 30 deals a year. Okay. So, you know, there's a reason for that. Okay. You know, it was, you had your act together. You had your seller's act together. You had your buyer's act together and you were able to get these transitions, you know, transactions done. So, Josh, you are the relative newbie in the industry, okay?
This is true.
So you're coming in with these fresh set of eyes, being welcomed into the wild bunch, and I mean that with all due respect as a compliment, because you guys are the Wild Bunch. You know, what was it like for you to step in and be a part of Atlas Hospitality on day one? That must have been quite an experience for you.
You know, it was pretty awesome. It was a good experience. I think what helped me, you know, in starting with Oliver, is that one of my best friends from high school, Robert Ueno, used to work at Atlas. So I kind of knew what I was getting into. Yeah. I knew what I was getting into prior to starting the job. So I think I had a little bit of a head start there. Obviously, me and Oliver have a very good working relationship. I know what he needs from me and vice versa. So I think that's always worked well, and what's allowed me to kind of grow internally within the company as Sachin and everybody else in the office. We have a really good working relationship, and I think that allows us to work very good as a collective group.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And I like the aspect that you guys have, what is it, every Tuesday you have a team meeting.
Correct.
And, you know, you guys are all there. And whether you're brainstorming or pitching deals to one of the other team members that may have a buyer for something, you know, you guys are on top of everything, which is really nice. Okay.
And if I may add,
please,
you know, what we pride ourselves on is not chasing the market.
Right.
But be ahead of the market.
Be ahead of the market, yeah.
Predict what's going to happen so that way we can help our clients through the times.
Well, you guys have got a database, and you've got a clientele that goes back decades now, okay? I don't think there's anybody out there that's got the database that you guys have. You know, you are the only ones that have focused on the California hotel market, okay? So you know everybody. You know, it doesn't matter if it's Redding, California, or if it's San Diego. So, you know, you guys cover everything. Now, I'm still under the impression that Imperial County and Oliver, you and I sold a couple of the hotels down there a number of years ago. I still think there's only two hotels with running water, and everything else goes to agriculture. You know, and I don't mean to beat up on Imperial County, but it is an agricultural center where, if you were in the...
But Craig, money's green there, too.
Money's green there. You're right. You are absolutely right. But if you look at the west end of the San Bernardino and Imperial, you know, or not Imperial, but the Inland Empire, you look at the Central Coast, you look at, you know, various other areas going up the coast, you guys have thrived in those markets. Give me a comment, guys. Tell me what you think about some of these markets.
Well, Imperial.
What do you think's on fire right now?
Well, actually, right now, quite a few of the markets are down, but there are still markets that are still growing. One of them is San Diego County, one of them is Imperial County, and Riverside and San Bernardino. And my thing is, you know, Imperial County, although many people have not heard of it, there's a lot of deals over there.
Some of the best deals are there.
Yeah, Sachina Bay has sold a lot of deals over there. So, you know, unlike a lot of our competitors, we'll take a listing. Again, it was priced well,
right,
and it's in the state of California. We feel like we can sell it. We'll sell it, and we're not snobs. I'll take a listing. We'll take a listing in Arcata, Eureka, Crescent City, Susanville, Alturas. I mean, we're talking the northwest part of the state, northeast part of the state, or, yes, Imperial County, because California is a big state, and I think there's 11,000 lodging properties in California, which is the equivalent of like five states. So
there's 53,000 throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay. And when I launched the California Lodging Investment Conference, okay, we were like teetering at 8,000. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, why don't we have our own conference? Okay. And Atlas Hospitality is one of the founding sponsors. Okay, and it is that belief in California. We've got the fifth largest global economy. Ryan at Chicago Title is one of our founding exhibitors. Okay, he can only be an exhibitor, but you know, it's that belief in California, and that's the thing that I like about all three of your companies. Okay, well, I'm saying our three companies, because I'm considering Click and Park West as being, you know, California centric. Mm-hmm. But you know, Ryan, why don't you give us a little bit of an idea about what you're doing title and escrow wise for hospitality that's a little bit different than everybody else out there?
Well, you've got to be a specialist. You know, you can't just be good at closing the title or the escrow. You have to realize that in these cases, you've got a business that's being sold along with the real estate. So typically, that's a whole different beast of a transaction. And, you know, we're a vendor in the grand scheme of things. We're not the ones, we're not curing cancer. We're not the ones putting the deals together. We know our place in it. So what we try to do differently is, instead of asking for business because we're bitching guys with strong livers and good golf games, we're trying to reciprocate with business. So when one of our brokers brings us a transaction and it falls out of escrow for any slew of reasons, it's very common. Yeah. You know, maybe attorneys don't get along, financing falls through. Well, we've got a network full of hundreds of actual principals. So we can pass on the information to our principals. Now, they're looking at off-network transactions, off the market. And then for the brokers that are bringing us the transactions, they don't have to get back to market. And we're not bringing in a buyer with a broker. So maybe they even brought me a deal with a buyer's agent. They fall out, and then we put in one of our principals. Now that broker's double-ending a deal.
Yeah.
So we try to provide and reciprocate with our own value.
There you go. I like that. Josh, you just recently closed a leaseback scenario. So do me a favor and give our audience a little bit of the details on that and how that was different from your typical sale.
Yeah, we typically don't do sale leaseback transactions. I think it only fits certain transactions. Generally speaking, the sweet spot, you know, I think is deals under $5 million, which you know, fit this particular asset. The principal of that, our seller, we've actually done multiple deals with, and he had just completed a full renovation on the hotel and franchised it with Sure Stay by Best Western. And I think he was able to, you know, offer the buyer a competitive cap rate on his triple net return, which I think enticed a buyer that generally wouldn't be interested in a hotel asset. This gentleman has other triple net assets.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
So I think it brings you a new buyer pool that you generally wouldn't have otherwise, because he's not an operator. So this gentleman owned like a Dollar Tree in a neighboring market that was a triple net lease, which you know, attracted him to this particular property in Ridgecrest based off of you know, the cap rate and the rent that he would be receiving over a long-term leaseback.
So I can bring you a Bobby Smith that is a high net worth individual, and you can put them into a leaseback scenario where they'll buy and own the hotel fee title.
Correct.
And they'll take care of whatever debts on it, and then you will bring in somebody on a long-term lease basis that has bumps every 5 years?
Yeah, so it's case sensitive to whatever the buyer and seller want to agree. In this case, it was the seller staying in the deal as the lessee.
Wow.
Yeah, keeping the operation. Obviously, there was a comfort level there with the seller, with his experience on the hospitality side and management. So he stayed in the deal. The return made sense for him on a monthly basis. So it kind of worked out for all parties.
Hey, on a quick note, we've lost our engineer, but my co-host, Red Gantos, is showing up, and he's sitting in Paul's chair. So lock the door. Don't let Paul in. Keep him out. I'm glad you're here, Red. Thank you very much for being here. We're going to you know, kick Paul out, basically. No, Paul, get out of the chair and let Rad sit there. He needs a microphone. You got a microphone for him? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Look at this, air traffic control.
There we go. He's got his, you know, his like, I don't know, you know, his Burt Reynolds black vest and, you know, kind of going from the Duck Hunter look.
I'm gonna have to remember my lines from Deliverance now.
There you go. Is that the squeal?
Sure got a pretty mouth.
We were just talking about Deliverance earlier. Weren't we?
We were.
Small. How come nobody else is in costume today?
Very funny. Oliver, what are you seeing out there in trends right now? What's changing the market? What's got you excited?
Well, one of the trends that I see happening is this new young generation of hoteliers, which is a little bit unfortunate for Atlas Hospitality, but they don't want to buy these old roadside motels anymore, these exterior corridor properties. They kind of want to follow this whole Hilton, Marriott, IAG club thing. Which is good and bad. I mean, you know, let's face it. I mean, none of us want to stay at a roadside motel. But those things do make money, and we sell a lot of them. And at the end of the day, those things don't have high expenses. They don't have unions. You don't have to go through like a whole bunch of agencies to get approvals to do this and that. And they do make money. You know, typically their expense ratio of those properties are very low. And
you had a client that had what, the number two travel lodge in the nation?
Correct.
And it was at SFO?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So that travel lodge is, it's 200 rooms, and it does fantastically well. And it has, it does not have the best reviews because it's a travelodge and it's very old. It's like 50 years old and it's falling apart, but it does very well.
And hey, Park West can renovate that and take care of that hotel. Okay. Please pass that on. And Red Gantos and Associates can do some of the design work. So
that's right. Where's my camera?
That's excellent.
Hey, how are you?
Good to see you. Yeah, we can. And we can definitely give a run for their money for those young Turks that are trying to do things. So
sounds great.
Yeah.
Can I just stop for 1 second? This is a world record.
No. Stop.
We have 110 people in this studio here right now.
Come in.
And you know what, Paul? That 110 people work for Atlas Hospitality,
I think
Chicago
so.
Tidal, Rad Gantos and Associates,
or they're all fans. Or they're all fans. Yeah, they bring an entourage with them. That's for sure.
Hey, Ryan.
We do. We definitely have an entourage.
Well,
so,
the scene.
Hey, we're gonna go to a commercial right now, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thank you.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy 3 with triple points on airfare. Buy 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
I just got here in time.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
All right, 112 people now. Two more just joined us. 112 people in the room, ladies and gentlemen, and it's 112 degrees in the studio.
Right. Thank you, Paul, and welcome back. This is Check Out California, your key to California hospitality.
Halloween
We've got
special.
Atlas Hospitality in the house.
Hey,
We've
hey.
Also got Chicago Tidal. Okay, I want to thank both these groups for being here today. My co-host, Red Gantos, made it back. Okay, he was taking care of some things today, and he is here now. He is not sitting next to me. Obviously, this is Ryan Huntsman, and obviously, I am in Red's chair. But This is all good. Rhett, glad you're here.
Thank you.
Hey, let's talk about some trends. Let's talk about some of the new brands. We've launched a new brand every month for the past 45 months. What are you guys thinking about that? Does that help you? Does that hurt you? I mean, you guys are brokers. You've got your thumb on the pulse. What the heck is going on?
Okay, I think I got a pretty good answer for this. So I collect wine. I also used to collect baseball cards.
Uh-huh.
And many years ago, there was only four baseball...
I collect girlfriends. So I,
you know. Okay, well...
not on an open channel.
I'm trying to correlate.
We're trying to keep listening.
So, like, 20 years ago, there was four baseball card companies.
We're not going to talk about what Josh collects.
Fleer, Donruss, Upper Deck, whatever. Then all of a sudden, 50 of them came out, and the baseball market crashed. Wine, same thing. There was a few good brand winemakers out there. You know, Robert Mondavi, Kenwood, so forth.
Right.
Then we have a thousand wineries come out. Wine market kind of crashed. Wines are cheaper now. If you look at restaurants, they're not as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The same with brands, okay? I think what's happening is there's so many brands out there, we're going to have a brand crash. A lot of the younger generation now going independent.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing with a lot of younger guys, they're going independent. Because at the end of the day, they use their own bookings.
Get closer to the microphone. I want everybody to hear you, Oliver.
They're using their own booking systems
to
manage their properties.
Yep.
Especially, I'm seeing this in the Bay Area. A lot of the younger guys feel like brands are unnecessary. So I think we're going to have a brand extinction. It's not going to happen probably at the Hilton, Marriott, and IG level.
Interesting.
But I think a lot of these new brands that are going to come out will ultimately fail. Ultimately, because of this exact reason, what I just said.
Wow.
And I correlate it to the wine industry and to the baseball card industry. And
then there's going to be a bunch of $2 Chuck out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you know
there, that's my co-host, Rhett Gadzos. And you know what? I love what he has to say.
How come Rhett knew $2 Chuck? That's the real question.
Because I avoided the plague. That's why. Because I know your cellar's full of it. No.
Ouch. Ouch. All right, I'll be quiet.
Please.
I got a drink in my hand.
It's $4 now.
Sachin.
Yeah, $2 Chuck is $4 now.
Sachin, you got a couple of comments you want to make on this. So go. Tell us what you're thinking.
Sorry.
I'm going to be like Joe Rogan. I'm going to look at you. I'm not shaving my head, okay?
Bring it closer.
I am not going to freaking shave my head, but you've got to get that microphone closer.
Paul, whatever you do, do not give Craig a sports show.
Ouch.
Now, we're doing a music show. That's an excellent.
Oh, no.
Almond Brothers.
I can't get that image out of my head now.
Talking about shaving, I wasn't sure what part of his body he was going to shave.
Oh. Look at the time.
You are disgusting. You are absolutely disgusting.
Okay? But let me bring it back, okay, to what was shared, because I think that all what Oliver said was absolutely, if anybody's thinking, oh my God, where'd this come out from, right? The signs have been on the wall, you know, there's been indications to this for a while, okay? And the only thing that made sense is that, hey, we're just putting up a whole variety of product for people to buy into, right? But at some point or the other, you're diluting. You know, how minuscule a difference can it really be between one or the other? And we're probably going to have consolidation that's going to happen. You're absolutely right, Oliver.
I think he's absolutely right about that, but I want you to ask Josh that question because he doesn't have an answer.
No, I got an answer.
Go ahead.
Come on, Josh.
I think I can add to that. So
I love Josh. Yeah. Josh is a great guy. Okay.
Let him answer.
I would agree with Oliver. I think in today's market, though, it's very case sensitive as to where your property is located, whether you can do that. In some of these primary markets, like a San Francisco, San Diego, I feel like some of the soft branding that's come out with Marriott, Hilton, they're just banking on people going there because they're reward members to get the rewards. To continue to you know, bank those points where you still have your identity as an individual hotel with the renovation you're doing. So when you have these younger hoteliers coming in that are millennials that know how to do a proper renovation, whether it's, you know, getting with a Park West or RAD to come up with a design scheme, and then you have a lot of your bookings coming through OTAs where you're seeing, if you have a franchise, what your res contribution is from that franchise. If it it's a minuscule, you know, 10%, why are you paying them, you know, 8-10% in exactly. royalty fees when, you know, you're getting a better booking percentage directly from the OTA? So if you can have a clean, fresh website, depending on where your market's at, do the right renovation, you know, get that target market, whether it's millennials, whatever it is, having the tech aspect of the room. In a lot of cases, you don't need the franchise, so you're saving yourself quite a bit of money there.
So let me let me ask a follow up question because it's obviously been a trend from those corporate clients, from the franchise, to develop those multiple layers of brands, right? So what was the motivation? Because you know this old idea about all sizzle no steak, you know, value differentiators not really being, you know, solid or multi level integrated, that really meant for an offering that was different from one to the other. What was the motivation? I know the answer, I think, but yeah. I'm curious to see what you think the answer was.
I think a lot of it is these bigger companies seeing themselves losing market share because of a lot of their product is tied into a distinct PIP plan or renovation, whether it's an IHG with a Formula Blue, and you have these millennials that want an individual experience when they go to a market, whether it's a Monterey or that, where these properties have their own identity. Mm-hmm. So they felt like they could tap into that with their soft branding, where you have the reservation system with Marriott or Hilton, but the property still has its own identity from a renovation standpoint.
Okay, so Oliver and Chain have, you know, their eyes are going like this. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, now, do you agree with that? Do you think that, yeah, the soft brand is working? Do you think that this is going on with the PIPs?
Well, to me, it's the franchise company's way to react to the market? Third parties and the everyone that's not the mainstream of booking with Marriott or Hilton. Close. So it's their way to get back to the millennials that are booking third party, looking on their own. So having these different franchises gives them more of an option, and it's combating what Oliver said. They're trying to combat anyway, with, you know, but I think they're cannibalizing the market.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Are they cannibalizing the market? Okay, let's look at Anaheim. Okay, we're out of brands there. Okay, would you guys agree?
Correct.
Oliver?
I agree, yeah.
You agree? Josh?
Correct.
Okay. So, we've had 45 new brands in the past 45 months. Mm-hmm. And that gives everybody an opportunity to move that new brand into the Anaheim market. Okay? Let's just look at Anaheim. Okay? Not a global, not a San Francisco, not a national, blah, blah, blah. Now, has our backyard been bastardized? Is there a problem there?
Well, the amount of the influx has grown. So what franchises want to do is, if I'm running 90% occupancy, I'm losing people to other franchises or other
somebody
properties.
Else is making money. Closer. Somebody else,
somebody
is,
else
making the
is making money.
Money. Yep.
Right. So their way of keeping the money within the brand is offer them more choices.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean... Well, actually, obviously, it all means to give the money back to the franchise.
Back.
Correct.
Back.
Correct.
There you go.
They don't want to lose that customer to an inferior brand or an independent.
There you go.
And I mean, it comes back to market share as well, right? These are all publicly traded companies.
Yeah,
they have returns for their investors, yeah. So yeah, they got to make money.
If Marriott only has four properties and they're all $500 and they're booked, Marriott customer, the rewards guy, is going to go somewhere else.
I think, Oliver, what are you doing in the market?
Well, I think some of these soft brands, what's happening is they're able to capture
both
sides.
Talk to me about soft brands, please.
Well, I think that they're able to get the old... They can, in some cases, get the old roadside motels, and they can also get the boxes. They can go both ways.
Yes.
Because a lot of owners don't want to be told what to do by Marriott, Hilton, and IHG in mm-hmm. terms of, you know, spending $10,000 or $20,000 a room every 10 years, but at the same time, a lot of the roadside motels, if they're in good locations, they can become an Ascendant Collection, or they can become a Trademark, okay, or they can become a SureStay, or they could become one of these brands. Like I'll give you an example. Like a couple of my clients just converted a property in Beverly Hills. They converted the property into a sure stay. Another client just converted the property on Sunset Boulevard into a sure stay. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are like top market,
top properties,
top locations, but yet it's sure stay. And these are roadside motels. And they're going to do very well. Okay, so I think what it does is it offers an alternative. Like, okay, you have a reservation system. Now, don't get me wrong. These soft brands, their terms are typically much lower. And typically what you can negotiate is a much lower rate than IAG, Hilton, or Marriott. And in a lot of cases, lower than the standard Wyndham Choice Best Western brands. But, you know, it still has a reservation system from the parent company.
And it has a res system, and you've got, okay, whether it's trip or time, they're willing to put key money in as well.
Correct.
So that helps out a lot.
And for the property owners, it gives them a reason to belong with.
Mm-hmm. They got the support system.
And support system.
There's infrastructure behind
physical,
it.
Right.
Physical.
And I got to tell you, that's one of the reasons I like Wyndham, okay? Mm-hmm. Where they're willing to put key money in, okay? They're willing to jump on board, and they've got a new soft brand.
Correct. Okay?
So we could have, as much as I love Marriott, and you guys know that. We go back decades, and you guys know that I love Marriott, Hilton, and Hyatt. Okay?
If you're in the business, you got to love them.
Yeah. Love them, okay? But I'd look at what Wyndham's doing right now.
Sure.
I'd look at some of the other soft brands that are coming out, whether it's Hilton and Tapestry. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, okay? Now,
consumer, absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we've got some changes going on, Ollie, and you're going to know this better than anybody else, because of those soft brands, because of these markets we're going into, okay, that this works. It works, okay? You've got a buyer. You've got a seller. Okay, let's really talk about the buyer, okay? And you're going to put them into a deal where they're going to have Hilton, Hyatt, Marriott, Wyndham as being one of their partners. They're willing to put money into the deal to make that hotel happen. Okay? So, all of a sudden, in Anaheim, we don't have so many, differences. We don't have so much that's not being touched. And you've got a new brand that's going to come in. So you as a broker, how are you handling that? Oliver's looking at me like I just lost my fucking mind. He's going, Craig, why did you ask me that goddamn question?
Well, I think at that point it becomes...
Thank you, Sassine.
Something for an operator. You have to believe in yourself as an operator.
It is the operator. It is. But I wanted Oliver to look at me and go, what the fuck are you talking about, Craig?
I lost you. I'm glad Sassine's answering.
With all this plethora.
And again, we're not on broadcast radio, so I can say those things.
Yeah. Thank God. Otherwise, it would be shut down by now.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Donald Trump and his police would be here arresting us.
It was strategic. We're like, Craig.
We're not on radio right now?
Oh, we are on the radio.
No, we're radio. We're protected. We don't have to answer to FCC or anything like that.
Oh, got it.
Internet radio. Yeah. The power of internet radio.
Pirate radio. Where anything can
happen.
Shut up,
Paul.
Where anything can happen, including that. But bring it back around, because we started off talking about, is there a problem with all these brands and sub-brands and quarter brands and, you know, partial brands and whatever, these layers of brands, right? Which I understand from a perspective operator trying to get somebody's interested in one or the other. Oh, you don't like the one with the, you don't like the car with the blue paint color? How about the one with the red paint color? How about the one with the spoiler and the aftermarket kit? You know, I mean, I get that, right? But we're also looking at a real saturation, right? And I would argue a certain amount of confusion to the end user and the client with so many offerings out there. right? And I don't know. I don't see how it's not going to end up being consolidation. I don't see how any of this stuff, most of this stuff that's vulnerable, is going to get reflagged. Some of it may be dumped out of the inventory because it's just too vulnerable to basically be a part of the chain, right? Individually, I'm the question to whoever wants to answer it is, what is the vulnerability out there, given that this has been the trend that we've been on for so long? In markets that are not necessarily bulletproof, that it's not going to be, it's going to matter.
So Gene will take this, but vulnerability is huge. Well,
don't put him in the firing squad, man.
I got to.
What can I say?
Well, okay, so the way I see it, it depends on, obviously, each brand. When the chips fall, what they're all going to do is, okay, I can, you know, double my points, triple my points if you book here and all that. I can see from the franchise point to try and keep those franchises alive.
But I've got your triple points right here.
That sounds like a hell of a lot of work.
Well, no, but I think that's what the franchise company's response is going to be, to keep these guys within the system.
Yeah,
but it's a matter ultimately, of for how long, though?
Exactly. That's the question, and that's something that the franchise companies will have to answer: how long they're going to be able to last with these different brands.
Right.
And ultimately, just like how real estate boils down to, it's going to be location, location, location.
Location.
Yeah, you know, there's another variable that's at play here, and it's partly millennial, partly Gen Z, okay? And that variable is a big incoming consumer market.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and that consumer is actually pretty savvy in terms of the depth of the offering. Like, they're going to want that cost effective, good price point. Good location. They're willing to look at things that are not necessarily classic, infrastructure or
wake up, Paul.
Right, but at the same time, those people are also looking for something that has substance, that is more than just a sizzle. It's got a steak. It's got the depth of experience in it. Right, and they're willing for it to be non-structured experience, we had a guest on one of the other shows that we produce, and basically came up with a term of street luxury. Okay, and the fact that anybody can be cool these days because there's things like Etsy and things of that nature. So there's a deconstructed component to this that infiltrates everything, including the hospitality industry. So you have all these properties and all this inventory that's on the market and in areas that are so saturated, and you're competing for those dollars from that marketplace. You know, you are going to have to really, to your point, you're going to have to, as a franchise company, you're going to really have to be solid in how you basically make that attractive. It's not going to be possible for it to be in an in-passing sort of classic way that you used to market and pitch things.
Oliver,
whether they actually stepped up to the plate or not, it's going to be interesting to see.
How do you make this passable? How do you make this palatable with your clients? You're taking a deal out to market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you make that work?
When I take a deal out to market, it's priced right. And generally, if it's priced right, we can make 10 phone calls or less, or 5 phone calls or less.
And just to help them out, sell it. And the way we price deals is we're not looking at what the property did the last 3 years, or even for a matter of fact, the last year. Mm-hmm. We're looking at how it's going to weather the market the next 5 years.
5 years.
Very smart.
Yeah.
And that's... That's the
crux behind it. What do you use to evaluate that?
Well,
without giving away the secret sauce.
Well, no, you know what? Honestly, it's having a pulse on the marketplace, talking to owners, the buyers, the lenders, and actually even title.
Absolutely.
These people,
absolutely, you've got them all dialed in.
These are the people that we depend on to predict our future.
Right.
So what are you seeing looking forward 5 years for what Craig Rich referred to?
Oh, my God. None of us can go 5 years, okay?
Let the man answer
Let's just look at two.
Correct. Okay, two years.
I think we're going to have the War of the Worlds with all these soft brands.
Nice.
Okay. It's literally the correct terminology, War of the Worlds. And half of them are going to last. Half of them won't be around. And I think at the end of the day,
the end of the
probably
day,
what will happen is half of them will just become independent, and the other half will just go back to IG.
The end of the day,
I agree. Yeah. I think that's very likely to happen. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's gonna
which could be.
On,
a,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, which yeah. which actually I think could be an interesting to see what happens with those independents, because they're going to be looking at resources and assets that are available, and okay, here it is. What are you going to do with it? Yeah. And that could be an interesting transition for the industry.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I think you're absolutely right. I think at the end of the day, I mean, who are you going to be holding hands with? Okay. Is it going to be Marriott?
I ain't holding your hand.
Is it? Yeah. yeah, you're right. That ain't going to happen.
If I may add, in a microcosm,
yeah.
you look at Palm Springs, you have 40, 50, and that market 60 sucks. Year old properties.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Actually, it's been doing really
it's
well.
It's been doing better. Still yeah. Well. Yeah. And but it still sucks. I'm not going to own that.
But
there.
Look at you got to look at the dice that you're dealt with. Right.
Right.
So they own 40, 50 year old properties. How
yeah.
are they going to revive that?
Well, let's,
yeah. and which is
yeah.
exclusive marketing to.
Exclusive marketing. It's and you know, a longer market up. Than correct. What anybody
again,
anticipated.
That's
yeah.
for yeah. smaller yeah. properties, yeah. more hands on operators.
Right.
Well, and the big guys yeah. are following the market. They go yeah. up with the market and down,
and down with the market.
Well, and Palm Springs is own and you know kind of unique situation.
Sucks.
It's set barren and wasteland for so long, and it transitioned generational appeal, and you have people that are coming in that were basically, you know, 20 years ago were the energy behind things like Laguna Beach and things of that nature that are doing it. And, you know, it's like I refer to it as Laguna Beach in the desert, basically, at this point. And there's all things like modern architecture, and you know, mid-century modern has its
okay,
own kind of draw. And
talk,
it's
a,
I refer to it
Josh.
As first in
okay.
and first out.
First in, first out. Yeah, that's
Josh.
Honestly.
So are you in or are you out in Palm Springs?
That's kind of a market.
Out.
Okay. You know?
Well, there you have it.
It's not the beach community. What do you think?
Of Palm Springs?
Yeah.
I think it's very case sensitive, right? You have a lot of properties.
Ooh, wasn't that a correct answer?
Very case sensitive. You have a lot of properties that are small, you know, 10, 12, 15 room deals. Where you have pride of ownership.
No, I want a 200. I want 150
yeah.
key.
That's
hotel.
Not that's not that.
Well, for instance, yeah. the what was the Hard Rock there is
right.
no longer a
right.
Hard Rock, right? So,
right.
and that was one of the first deals that was on the.
On the blog?
On the platform for raising money.
Yeah.
So that was one of the first deals that got done that way through
crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding, sorry, that's
yeah.
what I was trying to think
yeah.
of, right? So that they put in a
Tim
piece.
Edgar.
Yeah, correct of that. It was a different company, but yeah, that did that, and it didn't work out. Those
right.
big box hotels out there, you have a very seasonal market. I just don't
very
think it makes
seasonal.
Sense. Yeah, so those are a lot of those are pride of ownerships. They have really nice amenities, but they don't necessarily net a lot of money.
No.
By the way, Tim Edgar does great deals. Hotelinvestor.com.
Hotelinvestor.com
does
a nice
plug
great job.
Yeah.
That he does.
You know, Tim is a good friend of all of us, and Tim was part of the original team that opened up Atlas Hospitality. And Paul's going like this at me and go away, Paul.
Well, I actually have a question, Craig.
Running.
I have a question that came through on Twitter, just so that we
I get your Twitter.
We'll talk about that later. But meanwhile,
this is why we don't serve more tequila during more shows.
But I just to be responsive to our one listener that
our
actually
one listener
respond,
we got
right?
more than one.
Well,
okay.
this is the one that actually like put themselves out there and sent us a Twitter message. Okay,
yeah.
so let's be respectful.
Is that Rachel? Wait a minute.
No, I think it might have been Stacy. Okay, but anyway, so the question from Twitter is as follows: it says, in a word. In a world where people book their hotel book through hotel.com or Expedia, why does any operator need to pay a brand for their reservation system? Now, we kind of covered a little bit of that, but whoever wants to basically answer this?
You have to. I mean, if you're Marriott, Hilton, or Hyatt.
Why?
Okay,
rewards.
Because the rewards program, it's part of your hotel. It's part of the DNA. Okay? It's...
And one other thing.
If you want to be a boutique independent operator, great. Go do that.
So it goes back to the infrastructure and support
yeah,
system.
Exactly.
And also a lot of companies, they will only pay, you know, it's like an accounts payable in the end of the month or end of the quarter. They're for the employees. So they have to stay at a place where they can account for
it.
That's where
yeah.
they stay.
No, that's,
so
yeah. That's part of it as well.
It could also be generational. You know, a lot of the older school folks are married to a brand.
I like this. He's jumping in.
You know, you talk to grandparents and they have, I only stay at a Hilton.
There's a legacy component.
There is. And that's the brand that they went to with their parents. Yep. And that's where they want to take their kids.
Stay at just a Hilton.
That's right. But now you have, you know, younger folks coming in that are traveling for work and they're thinking, you know what, a cool boutique-y place. So what if the door is a weird geisha door that I can see through, you know?
Right. No, but that's the hotel that Rad and I own, so we're not going to go down that road with a weird door. But
I thought I told you. It was a silent
don't
partner.
Don't do that. But hey, we're going to wrap this up. I want to thank Oliver Shaw, Sachin Shaw, Josh Meal, Ryan Huntsman, who is like a son to me. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for sitting in this
chair. My partner in these productions and in this show, Rad Gantos, thank you for being here.
No problem. Thank you.
I know you had some stuff.
You know what? I'll bring the Tupac Chuck anytime.
Really, really glad you're here. I want to thank.
Well, you guys drank all the tequila, so I had to bring something.
Yeah, we did. We finished all the tequila. I want to thank Nancy and Frank and Chris and Ed at Park West General Contractors. Thank you for being our sponsor. Thank you, Red Gantos and Associates, for being our sponsor.
Pleasure.
This show was produced by Golden State Media Group, LLC. And that is a company that Rad and I have formed. We've got three shows. We've got The Rad Life, we've got Check Out California, and we have also got Selling the Lux Life. So we want to thank you all for being a part of the show. We're going to do more. We're going to have more fun. And thank you. And aloha. We are out.
Hold on. I want to thank everybody that's in this room, too, okay, for the gentlemen that have been here before. Okay, we're coming on 2 years of Check Out California.
Yes, we are.
And I want to thank you guys for all making it happen because we are only as good as the content we put out, and it has a lot to do with the quality of our guests. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Oliver Shaw. Thank you, Sachin Shaw. Thank you, Josh Mail. Thank you, Ryan Huntsman. Thank you. Paul, I'm not thanking you.
You have been listening to the Life Radio Show.